Jeremy, okay without a microphone? Anybody who can? Can I tell you a story related to the scripture that Jeannie just read for us? The year was 1967. I was a junior at Taylor University, and a group of us were going to Daytona Beach, Florida, with Campus Crusade for Christ to witness on the beaches during spring break. And we were told that if we would go to Indianapolis, Indiana, and meet at a Howard Johnson's, remember those, at midnight, 12 midnight, that night, that Friday night, a bus would pick us up and take us to Daytona Beach. So there were about, 10 or 12 of us who met there at the Howard Johnson's. And 12 midnight came, no bus. 1 o'clock came, no bus. 2 o'clock came, no bus. We didn't have cell phones back then, didn't have anybody really to call and find out whether it was coming or not. Finally, one of our numbers said, well, let's do a Bible study and redeem the time. And so they chose this particular passage, and it was in the Living Bible that somebody had. The first verse is the key. What is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that something you want is going to happen even though you can't see it around the corner. And by then it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and just after my colleague read that scripture, the bus appeared. And I was the last one on the bus, and the only seat left was beside my lovely wife, Sylvia, and that's how we met. So that verse is important to me. What is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen, even though we can't see it around the corner. So that's an addition to my sermon. Oh, we'll still get out in time. It's good to be back among you again, and hope all of you are well and life is good for you. I'm wondering, what keeps you awake at night? What do you worry about? Are your fears greater than your faith? We've got COVID, cancer, drought, floods, fires, climate change, political uncertainty, divorce, death. You can go on and on and on. Name some of the things that we face day to day. Do any of those cause you to worry excessively? Do you fear any of these more than you have faith in God? Who has more power? What preoccupies your mind becomes your God. You end up worshiping what you're focused on. And so you become obsessed with it, if it's a worry, if it's a fear, more than your faith in God. Fear is a chilling emotion. It can freeze us in time. Life stops when we let it get us in its grip. I believe that recent world events have caused a mild depression to sweep over our country and our society. While we keep on living, a cloud of fear lingers over our consciousness, and it prevents us from doing what we might normally do. It causes people to stay home, to worry, to fret. Being frozen with fear is not what God has called us to. 2 Timothy writes, "For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, self-discipline. And so when we let fear take over our lives, our hearts, we have caved in to the power of evil. We have let negativity rule us, and we end up worshiping that which we fear rather than the God who will raise us above fear, no matter what it is. Jesus reminds us that two sparrows in his day were bought for a penny. And yet he says God knows when the sparrow falls, and you're worth far more than a sparrow or two. How much more does God care for you? How much more is he aware of your life, your difficulties, your pains? Shirley Lutrick was a member of our Chesterton church, and she underwent a painful knee surgery replacement. But then her knee got infected, and it had to be taken out. And she had to live for 6 weeks without a knee in a bed until the infection was healed. And then the procedure had to be done all over again. And then she faced having her other knee replaced as well. So such a future could be very foreboding for an individual. But Shirley's brother, John Hyman, who lives down in Florida, wrote an email to cheer her up and to give her perspective. He said, "I just heard of your misfortune. And I would remind you that 52,520 people have experienced the same problem that you have. All 52,219 have absolutely and miraculously recovered. All but one poor soul who claims his dog DeSoto doesn't love him anymore." So, if you don't have a dog named DeSoto to not love you, I believe you will be your old self in no time. Be assured, dear sister, that we will be praying for you and all your loved ones. It helps to have perspective on life, doesn't it? The government and the media would have us all scared to death about COVID. Forgive my math, but I did some research. I took the number of deaths from COVID and divided by the population of the United States. And I came up with, you have 1/4 millionth of a percent possibility of dying of COVID. That's pretty good odds of not dying. And yet, we worry about that. People, I know people who won't come to church, won't shop, won't do anything because of their fear of COVID. In contrast, you have a 1 in 10,000 chance, percent chance of dying of an auto accident. That means you have 100 times more likely chance of dying of an auto accident than you do of dying of COVID. And yet we get in our car, fasten our seatbelts maybe, and go about our work or our day not worrying at all about getting killed in an auto accident. So it helps to have perspective of what really we are afraid of. Is it worth worrying about? When we are confronted with stress and fearful things, we need to take courage. Giving in to our fears is a cowardly way to live. Anybody can be afraid. Anybody can worry. It takes a strong person to confront their fears and to plunge ahead with wisdom and strength. Fear is the devil's tactic of defeating us. But those who would conquer fear face it head on and discover that fear is but a shadow of reality. Burton, also from the Chesterton area, was a school bus driver. She was taking a load of middle school and high school students home after the day's school work. And while traveling about 40 miles an hour, a car pulled out in front of her at an intersection, and there was a collision, and the school bus actually drove up over the front of the car. It's scary enough to have an accident, but when you have 40 or 50 lives in your charge, it's easy to get scared and worried and concerned about their welfare as well. And Kim knew that if she didn't act, that fear could overcome her and she'd never drive a school bus again. So the next day, she climbed into another bus and continued her role as a school bus driver. She didn't let fear conquer her faith. On the other hand, if you focus on fear, it can actually destroy you or bring about the very thing you worry about. There's scriptures about Saul being afraid of David, and his fear actually became a fulfilling prophecy as he fell on his own sword out of fear of David. The danger of focusing on our fear is that it may actually come true. An artist by the name of J.H. Zarthian read about a tiny boy who was killed in a traffic accident. And the story turned his stomach. It was so awful, and he got concerned about his own children. And so he decided that he was going to protect them no matter what. His worry turned to anxiety, and his anxiety to fear, and he surrendered to this obsession. He canceled plans to purchase a large home in Pasadena, California. And he began seeking a place where his children could grow up without fear. He found a place, 12 acres of land out in the middle of nowhere, and at the end of a narrow road. And along that, he put up a sign saying, "Caution, children at play." Then he fenced in an area where the children could play so that they wouldn't be harmed or hurt. Then he built a house, carefully designing it so that it would be safe, that there would be no possibility of accident or injury. It was a masterpiece of beauty and safety. Only Zarthian would ever drive the car into that home, that garage. As he surveyed his new situation, he realized that his driveway had a flaw in it and it could be dangerous. But before he even hired a contractor to change the driveway and to fix the flaw, he backed his car out of the garage and his child care worker unfortunately let go of his little toddler, and he ended up driving over and killing his own son. You see, if you focus on negativity, negativity will come to haunt you. But if you focus on God, who is our help and our salvation, we have strength, we have hope. We have one who can make a difference, who can change our lives. Faith is the opposite of fear. Fear steals life, faith gives life. Fear limits activities, faith energizes. Fear stifles the soul, faith gives inspiration. Fear takes us down, faith lifts us up. Fear invites evil. Faith connects us with Almighty God. Fear leaves us alone. Faith gives us a friend. Fear leaves us helpless. faith gives us hope. I wish you could keep in your mind that the hands of God are constantly reaching down to help us. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you wanted to help somebody and they totally ignored you. I visualize God reaching down to make our life better, and we go about our life totally ignoring that God is real, that He's here, that He cares about us, that He can make any difference in our life. But He's reaching down, constantly available to pick us up, to save us, to protect us, to bless us. And our faith is focused on that, or should be focused on that. It can make a difference between life and death. So how do you focus your life? How much time do you spend meditating on God's Word? The Psalms are full of affirmations of faith, how God is always present, how He is there to redeem, to lift up, to save, to help, to protect. How much time do you spend talking to God? It doesn't have to be down on your knees for hours. Every time I hit a green light, I say, "Thank you, God." Every time anything good happens in my life, I acknowledge that God was there. I backed one of my cars into another car the other day in the driveway, and gratefully, it smeared the paint a little bit, but it didn't really hurt the good car, but it pulled down the old one. And it could have been so much worse, and so I thank God for His presence and help. He got my attention, and I stopped in time. How much time do you spend thinking about God's love for you as opposed to worrying about things you can't control, agonizing over things that keep you awake? I'm doing a job, I do handyman stuff, and I've never done concrete work. And I told this gal that I thought I could help her repair her driveway that had a heavy truck's drove on it and sunk the concrete about 6 inches. So I told her, I think I can help her fix that. But I found myself laying in bed at night thinking about, since I've never done this before, worrying about it. And then I thought about my sermon. I said, what do you do when you're full of worry and anxiety? You pray. You say, God, you know, I've done all I can do. Now it's your turn. Take my worry. Take what I've done and bless it, because I can't do any more. It's out of my control. So tomorrow we'll find out what happened. Muslims get down on their knees and pray 5 times a day. How many times do you pray? You've got probably 3 square meals to sit down to. Do you even stop and pause and pray, thanking God for the food? I've observed this in restaurants. 99.9% of people, when the food arrives, start scooping it in. It gets quiet because they stop talking. Then, every once in a while, I find a couple, an individual, a couple businessmen stop. They don't pray out loud, but they just bow their head and acknowledge the God who gives them food. And so I go up to them afterwards and I say, I noticed and I appreciate that you are a person of faith. You just made a witness of what you believe. You've practiced your faith. faith has to be practiced. It doesn't do much good if you come upon an emergency and you haven't been prepared in faith. You cry out, "Oh God, help, help!" But if you haven't been in touch with God, why should he listen? In fact, there are scriptures that say that people who ignore God, God refuses to answer their prayers. If he's a loving Heavenly Father, give him what's due him. Honor him. Respect him. Trust him. Call out to him daily, or multiple times daily. And just thank him for being your God. Someone has asked the question, if you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? A legend tells of a man who got lost in the desert. He was dying for a drink, famished in the heat of the sun. Just a little water is all he wanted. He stumbled around and found an old, weather-beaten shack. He used it as shade from the scorching sun. And he looked about, and there he saw an old, rusty hand pump. He stumbled over to it and began to pump it frantically, but nothing came up, no water. Then he noticed in the sand there was a jug with a cork in it and a note on the jug. The note said, "You have to prime the pump with the water in this jug. P.S. Be sure to fill it up again before you leave. Signed, Desert Pete." Who was Desert Pete? Could he be believed? He's so thirsty, he wants to just drink the water that's in the jug. So he contemplates this decision. What is he going to do? And finally, he has faith enough. He pours the water down the pump. And then he pumps like crazy. First, there's a little trickle. Then pretty soon, a stream. And finally, a good flow of water. He fills up the jug and drinks it. He fills it up again, pours it over his head, and lets the refreshing water cool him. He fills it up again and drinks some more. Fills it up again and drinks some more. And finally, he fills it up and puts it back in the sand after he wrote a note, after Desert Pete's note, and said, he said, "Believe me, it really works. You have to give it all away before you can get anything back." That's faith. Do you live by that? Our lives as followers of Christ call us to invest in God and in others. Being a member of a church means giving it all away so that we can receive what God wants to give to us. Again, a story from Taylor University. There was a group on campus that called themselves Wandering Wheels back in the day. And they would ride, these are college men, they would ride their bicycles from one coast of the United States to the other. Think about that. I don't know if any of you ride bikes much, but they had to cross the Rockies. If you ride uphill, that's one thing, but the worst obstacle you have to riding is the wind. When the wind's in your face, it's awful because it never lets up. So you have hills, probably have steep descents and have to be concerned about your brakes. You have rain, you have wind, have flat tires. have mechanical difficulty. I think it's a good illustration of life, isn't it? All the things we face in life. But these guys, when they would pull into wherever their destination was for the day, they would put on a little service and sing about their faith. And this is one of their choruses that I thought was kind of their theme song. I just keep trusting my Lord as I ride along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the empty veil, I just keep trusting my Lord, he will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend, I can count on him to the very end. I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and he gives a song. Simple little verse, but so true. A good mantra for us today. Look up. You see how blue the sky has been recently? Have you watched any colorful sunsets? Have you noticed some trees turning color? Have you thanked God that we're not in California where there's fires now threatening the great, sequoia trees, thank you. Or if you thank God that you're not in Louisiana or Texas where it's flooding 7 inches in an hour. You know, life is good if you focus on what's good. You have reason to give thanks. You have reason to praise God. He is good all the time. So what are you going to do when you are afraid? When you're plagued with fear? What are you going to do? Are you going to stop and pray? Say, God, I've done everything I can do in this situation. It's really out of my hands. This person I love is fighting cancer or has a disease that's incurable. I lift them up to you. You do what I can't do. You be my strength. You be my help. You be my salvation. I trust you with all my heart. How big is your God? Is he a God with a little g? Something you read about in Scripture? Or is he a personal God that walks beside you, that talks with you, that gives you hope, joy? Bigger than the fears you face. When you trust him, he does give a song for your heart. You can rejoice inwardly, even when you're in difficulty, even when the light turns red, and you have to wait when you're in a hurry. He's bigger than all the stress, anxiety, worries of the world. Put your whole trust in him. That's what it means to be Christian, to have faith.